Greetings and welcome, everyone, to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Today, I want to look at a scripture that many are talking about these days, especially those who have some knowledge of the Bible. Turn with me, if you would. Let's look at Matthew 24, verse 6. And you shall hear, it doesn't say you shall experience, it says you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you do not let these things disturb you.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
When I was growing up, that's all I heard. And since the days of my youth, that's all I've heard. War is going on. War is taking place here. War is taking place there. War is everywhere. I may not be a part of it. You may not be a part of it. But we have heard that all our lives. Especially those that are alive today that experienced World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Korea, Afghanistan, Desert Storm. We could list many, many wars, just those that the United States was involved with, not to mention all around the world. We can talk about all kinds of terrible wars that occurred where millions were slaughtered, especially in Africa, the Middle East. We've heard nothing but wars all our life. And what does it say? See that you do not let these things disturb you. For it is necessary that all these things take place, but the end is not yet. That is the end of the days leading up to Jesus Christ's return. For nation shall rise against nation. The word rise there means to awaken, to arouse. These are nations that were asleep or obscure before, but haven't we seen that? Look at the Middle East. Middle East, since the days of their independence, have done nothing but war and rise up against other nations. Africa, same way. South America. We could talk about all the countries in the world. China. China was barely a third world country after World War II. Look at how they have risen up. Or Russia. These things are not new. They've been going on for a very long time. And kingdom against kingdom, or government against government, nobody can seem to get along, even at the international level, through diplomatic means or any other means. No one gets along. One country is jealous of another, or envious of another, or they are coveting the things of another. It is just old news. It really has gone on my entire life, your entire life. Let's continue. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in different places. Is that new? When you look at the history of the world, has that ever stopped? It has been going on since man has been upon this earth. It is something that has never ceased. Thank you. And Jesus concludes in verse 8 saying, "Now all these things are the beginning of sorrows." Beginning of sorrows is a phrase that many believe is a time just prior to the tribulation, a time when the seven seals are opened and there is enormous destruction and widespread death that occurs upon this earth. Many believe that the beginning of sorrows is a time that precedes the tribulation. But let me ask you a question. Does it matter? Does it matter with all the sorrows that we see in the world, that the world has gone through in its entire history? Think back to the Dark Ages, the plagues, the wars. How many decades did the War of Roses last in England? How many decades has war continued upon this earth without ceasing? Or earthquakes, or volcanic eruptions, or pestilences? All these things have existed throughout my entire life and in all of the history that I have read. And I suspect the same is true for you. So let me ask it again. Does it matter what the beginning of sorrows is or when it begins? Interestingly, the word beginning can also mean cause. All these things are the cause of sorrows. And for me personally, I see nothing but sorrows in this world. So let me ask you a question. What does this mean for you? Has your life been so full of joy that there has never been a time of sorrow? I seriously doubt that you can say that you have never experienced sorrow in your life, or that in many cases sorrow is not a long-term condition in your life. Perhaps it's death of friends or family. Perhaps it's disease. Perhaps it's illness or injury. Perhaps it's financial problems. Perhaps it's just a life more filled with sorrow than it is with joy. It's interesting. We look at this scripture from the standpoint of wanting to know when Jesus Christ returns. That's the real motive behind many of these prophecies. And yet, nobody really looks at that and says, is this a time that I should be preparing? Whether or not we are in the tribulation, whether or not this is a beginning of sorrows, whether or not this is beyond your lifespan, you have a short period on this life to live. Several decades, maybe even up to 100 years. But you've lived all your life at least knowing that the world is filled with sorrow. Your life may be much more pleasant than others, but knowing that this world is filled with sorrows and has been since the beginning of mankind's existence, does that grieve you? Let's look in Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 4. And the Lord said to him, "Go through the midst of the city in the midst of Jerusalem and set a mark on the foreheads of the men who are groaning and are mourning because of the abominations done in her midst." Do you sigh and cry over the abominations of this world? If so, I have a challenge for you to seek God. I want to read you something you may not have read before, but this is an extremely encouraging scripture for those who are sighing and crying, groaning and mourning over the things of evil that have taken over the world. In John 4 and verse 23, "But the hour is coming And now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. Here it is. For the Father, God Almighty Most High, is indeed seeking, searching out, desiring for those who worship Him. Is your heart sighing and crying? Is your heart mourning and groaning? While this time of sorrow that we are in never really ended, it may get worse, but we are in a time of sorrow right now. You are in a time of sorrow right now. Perhaps it's not as bad as it can get, but you are in a time of sorrow. And we can talk about the disruption of our lives with the COVID-19. We can talk about the impact to congregate with other people, perhaps at a church. But those are not really any different than the life that we had before. It was still filled with sorrow. This is just a different way of accommodating our physical needs. So we go to the store only on rare occasions. We go visit people that are in need instead of just dropping by to say hello. But life is full of sorrow. How many people have died in the city where you live in the last 3 months due to car accidents, diseases, cancer? How many people have committed crimes in your city? Are these not sorrows? Are these not abominations to be sorrowful for? This is the world around us. This is what you are living in. This is a world of sorrow. No matter how good your life is, no matter how pleasant, how wealthy you are, how in need of nothing we are, as Jesus Christ said about the Laodiceans, you are rich and increased with goods and in need of nothing? Is that possible for you to say truthfully? If everything that I have talked about is true in your life, if you see this world as filled with abominations, and if you see this world through a heart full of tears for the sufferings that go on, then now, right now, is a time to seek God, you personally. Perhaps this is your calling from God, because He is seeking such to worship Him. I want to read another scripture for you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. If you call upon the Father, if you call. Is that your case? Have you yet called on God? If you call upon the Father, who judges according to each man's work without respect of persons, pass the time of your life's journey in the fear of God. Why did Peter say that? I can't imagine that the times of sorrows in which Peter lived are much different than the times that we live. But Peter recognized there is a fear of God that surpasses the fear of this world. And that fear of God is what leads us to repentance. And in return for repentance, God gives us forgiveness and a promise of eternal life. And this is a life that has no sorrow. Are you seeking a life without the sorrows? Do you want to see the beginnings of joy? Eternal joy, eternal and everlasting joy, unspeakable, as Paul said, unimaginable. And yes, for us individually, in our lives, it is a beginning of sorrows because it began when we were born and it will not end when we die. Let's look at another scripture. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. Peace that He had while upon this earth. Have you ever wondered about that? Jesus Christ was tortured and brutally murdered. But he says he has peace. He had peace during that entire time. And that peace transcended all the pain and suffering he went through. Is that not a peace that you should seek after? That you would desire? Who would reject such a peace? And it's just a simple matter of seeking God, seeking to worship Him in spirit and truth. That is the calling of God. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you, because the world does not know peace. It cannot. If Matthew 24, verse 8 is the cause of sorrows, then the world has never known anything except a lack of peace. But Jesus Christ says He will give you peace. So what about it? Have you been called? Have you asked yourself that question? Maybe you haven't even asked that question. You feel remorse and sorrow for what goes on in the world. You know that there is no peace in your life, peace like you know should be, true peace. Are you being called right now? Are you delaying? Are you waiting for something? What would that be? Parable of the Sower is an all-important lesson for us to learn for anyone who is uncertain about their life and who is delaying or putting things off, procrastinating, who is not seeking God in the fullness of prayer and Bible study.
The parable of the sower. Behold, the sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil, and after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold.
I hope this is you. Because there's coming a time when there's going to be a true famine of the hearing of the word, and that might include you, where you no longer have the means to hear the word. You have rejected hearing it for too long. You have rejected seeking God for too long. Turn now unto God, for the true peace comes only from Jesus Christ, who had peace in the midst of the sorrows of this world. Is this the beginning of sorrows? I say no, because I say the sorrows have never ended, and they will continue on until the time of the end, when this world goes through the tribulation and the day of vengeance of God Almighty. You and others can change your lives. You can have that peace. You can have the beginnings of joy. Let's turn over to Isaiah 55. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend your money for what is not bread? Why do you labor for what never satisfies? Hearken diligently to me, God says, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Bow down your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, you personally. Even the sure mercies of David, behold, I have given him, Jesus Christ, for a witness to the people, a prince and a commander of people. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous men his thoughts, and let him return to the eternal, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He will pardon all your sins through repentance, your repentance. Verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Eternal. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Skip down to verse 11. So shall my word be which goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall certainly do what I sent it to do. Here it is, verse 12. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. Is that a promise that is the desire of your heart? God promises the beginnings of joy, the beginnings of peace, and they will be eternal. They will have no end. You can have that if you seek him with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. The mountains and the hills shall break out before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn, the fir tree shall come up, and instead of the briar, the myrtle tree shall come up, and it shall be to the Eternal for a memorial, for an everlasting sign which shall never be cut off. The promises of God are sure. His mercies are sure. His grace is sure. His forgiveness is sure. If we go back in the beginning of this message, remember I said, if you call upon God, if you seek him with all your heart and mind and soul. I want to thank you for inviting me into your home. And until next time, this is Stephen Green for Church at Home.